The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati now joined by Todd Lebo in studio. What's up, Todd? How are you?
How about that Big 12?
What's that supposed to mean?
Hey, listen, the tournament's wild. There's no guarantee. You know, I mean, listen, Purdue lost to a 16. Those things happen, right? But we kept hearing how this was the greatest conference in the history of conferences for 25 years.
Maybe
or something.
Not.
It's just
the most. Maybe it was very. It's very competitive.
I know this.
Evenly
when
matched.
When you're basically just fighting against each other from January till March, you get used to fighting against each other, and now there's no one in the Final Four from the Big 12. And help me run through this in my head.
There's no one from the SEC. There's no one from the Big Ten. There's no one from the Pac-12.
Yeah, well, no one told me they were all the best. But.
Well, yeah. Tom Izzo said the Big Ten's best.
Yeah, he said that. Well, he's wrong, too.
So what you got? You got Miami from the ACC.
You got Big East, ACC. Tell me what Florida Atlantic's in.
My guess is going to be the international.
I think it's Conference USA.
USA. Conference USA.
USA. Longtime member of the Conference USA.
Yeah.
And San Diego State's in. Mountain West, Big West, something? Something West?
Yeah.
So who in the Big 12 lost to a team that was had a better seed than them?
I hate when people do that because if you're a higher seed, you don't have the chance to lose to a higher seeded team.
Well, I'm just asking. I think just...
I was just asking.
Yeah.
Tech, they were a 6 and lost... No, not Tech, TCU lost to Gonzaga. But, you know, Kansas was a 1 seed and lost. Baylor got just crushed by Creighton. The Big East had a nice run for what people think they are anymore. But still, their best team,
yeah.
Marquette, lost in the second round.
They're an underrated conference.
Big East, all they care about is basketball.
That's a good conference.
They're good. I mean, yeah. Villanova finished like ninth in the Big East this year.
I mean, Marquette,
and they were in the
Xavier,
Final Four.
Creighton, UConn.
I will caution people to think that the college basketball's hierarchy has crumbled. Because just last year, it was North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, and Villanova.
Quit repeating what I say on the show 45 minutes ago.
I'm just saying, well, that's what we're supposed to do.
No, listen, here's what I'm telling you.
I'm telling you.
The NIL and the transfer portal's changing everything. The blue bloods are dead. I mean,
I don't think they're probably dead. I think they'll be fine.
You think it? But the gap has closed in the tournament between the 16 seeds.
Oh, they're definitely.
The
we've seen
all these
two 16s win in the last 5 years, and
after
it had never
having it
happened before. So I think there's a lot of things that are crapshoot and kind of just
happen. Do you even blink when a 15 seed wins now? Like, yep.
Not really.
Well, how much of that is because of the transfer portal?
I don't think that's all because of the transfer portal. I do think that some of the best coaches of all time have left, and that'll be a bigger problem for Duke and Villanova.
Well, maybe part of the reason that they're leaving is because it's not so easy anymore.
It's not so easy. The transfer portal makes it harder. There's no question it's harder.
How much harder is this offseason for Bill Self compared to off seasons in the past?
It's incredibly hard. It definitely. No question. They're working and doing more things than they ever had to do before. They're worrying about things like NIL and who they can do in the consortium and all that stuff. But if the transfer portal were a big deal, I would look up and I would see that like FAU has 4 transfers on it. And they have 1. The big Russian kid.
But
everyone else was on their team
pretty good
the whole time. He was pretty good. And why did he leave Tech? Because Chris Beard left. I mean, he was there. Chris Beard went to Texas, and he just went somewhere else.
It's too early to say how it's going to affect college basketball.
K-State's run tells you transfer portal, because K-State had dudes join their team and.
How many? You threw the stat out. How many guys started their career at K-State that scored a point in the tournament this year?
None, I think. They had 2 freshmen on the team, and the kid from Grandview, I don't think he really played. He might have redshirted. And then there was another freshman. And then, you know, Marquise Noel was there, but he had transferred in the year before, and they were getting transfers in June. But here, that you expect that year one of your coach, Jerome Tang, got the job in March. He got the job basically a year and a week ago. So you have to do all that
stuff. Nigel Pax made a difference for Miami.
Absolutely.
Can you believe that? Everyone, do you remember? Miami gave Kansas all they wanted last year. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
That's the NIL thing. That ended up being a beatdown in the second half. But boy, that first half, they had Charlie Moore on the team.
Don't you remember?
Who had been on his fourth team.
Jayhawk. There was a lot of people, even though Miami had success in the NCAA tournament the previous year, a lot of people were mocking Miami for giving that kind of money to Nigel Pack. And they're like,
well, it's not Miami. It's the crazy personal injury lawyer who has this company called Life Wallet.
They were from both sides. Like, what are you giving money to him for? Like, what do you think Miami basketball is going to do? And then people were criticized. Oh, you know, he's taking a paycheck, but good luck going to basketball obscurity. And now he's the one going to the Final Four.
And that's the weird kind of random thing about the tournament and all of these rankings. So Miami was a 5 seed?
Was the money? No, but my question is, was that investment worth it?
You listen to this guy.
Was that investment worth it?
This John Ruiz, he tells you that anytime people are talking, and I'd already mentioned the name of his company, that's good for him. So it's absolutely worth it for him.
It was a bargain
for the school. Now, I think this company is some weird thing that's all funny money, whatever. What is money anymore? Who knows? I don't know.
It's a social construct.
I'm not sure if they're paying him in dollars or they could be paying him in NFTs. I don't know. I think they're paying dollars, but I'm joking. But Miami was a 5 seed, and they were the best team in the ACC. So were they maybe a little underseeded as well?
Sure looks like it now.
Yeah, I mean.
But are we just overreacting to the NCAA tournament?
Well, we always overreact to the NCAA tournament.
Right.
That's what you do.
Because that's what matters.
Right.
I hate to tell you that's what matters.
It shouldn't be 100%. Like, I think it matters too much to a lot of fans.
So when you look at college basketball versus college football.
What do you mean it matters to you? That's how you determine a champion. You think the NFL playoffs matters too much to NFL fans? This is what it is.
I think it's a little bit different
in college basketball
than the NFL. I think if you should K-State fans be ticked that they lost to a 9 seed for the Final Four? Should they be happy? It's a little bit like the Missouri thing. Should they be happy they had a great year and they made the run to the Elite Eight? But what percentage should they just flush the regular season down because they lost to one's ever heard of, and you can ask them what league they're in, and they don't know who the coach is?
No, Missouri's it's a success because they hadn't won a tournament game in 13 years. But next year, if the same thing happens, it ain't going to be quite the same success. Now, will it be?
So,
then people will be pissed off.
I just don't want you to flush the regular season.
No, but Kansas, how do you view your season? Losing in the round of 32. People are pissed off about it.
Yeah, but KU's is different because for me, they were able to win the best conference in the history of college basketball despite not having that great of a team. Then their coach got sick, and they didn't have him for the tournament, and they lost the game. It was easier to swallow this year because I didn't think this Kansas team was good enough to win a national title, really, and they didn't have their coach.
Now, who knows what's going
on? And they won a national title. Yeah, maybe I was wrong about that, but I don't think they would have done real well against Connecticut.
Yeah, they probably delayed the inevitable.
But it goes back to the difference, college basketball versus college football. One of the things to me that I love about college basketball is you can see a Final Four like this. You don't get to see that in football. It doesn't happen. You get to see the same teams over and over again. You don't get to see a Cinderella team like this. But the flip side is college basketball in large part has been reduced to, as I think it was Gabe DeArmond said it last week, a 4-week season. Or 3-week season, really. It's we don't really care that much about, first of all, the first couple months of the season we really don't care about when it's non-con.
Yeah.
It's those are a bunch of exhibition games that are kind of fun.
If you accidentally turn the TV on a Tuesday night and you see a game, you're like,
wait, Connecticut's playing Duke. That's cool.
Yeah, well,
but it's like, who cares if they win or not? It doesn't really matter. And then the conference, you kind of care a little bit more. And then the conference tournament,
around here,
it's
really
fun.
Tough, too. The Chiefs,
Todd, what major city is a bigger college basketball city than Kansas City?
Oh, there's no question. We like college basketball around here, but these things were bigger when Patrick Mahomes wasn't the Chief.
Yeah.
and you're not involved in the Super Bowl, you know, when your season ends on January 1st, you pay more attention.
The team you always talk about, the 97 Jayhawks or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Do you talk about how great that regular season was, or what do you talk about with that team?
I always say it's the greatest team that KU maybe ever had, and they broke my heart more than any team I've ever watched.
What was the best regular season team from Missouri in the past 10 years or so? The Frank Haight team, whatever else? Nobody cares. Nobody cares what they did in the regular season. They'll remember. You remember them by two words: Norfolk State.
Yeah.
And like for
now, that is the context, though. If they had been like a 10 seed and lost in the first round, you wouldn't feel the same way.
I choose to remember them winning the Big 12 tournament and taking their SEC T-shirts.
I do remember that. I remember that.
It erased me the wrong way.
I was there. I remember that.
I was there, too. I loved it. Like
I was here in this building when they lost to Norfolk State, and Craig Brenner punched a trash can.
And I hate this, and it makes me sad to say this, but even especially now, we look back at the Chiefs of the 90s, and do we talk about all those great regular season wins? No.
Yeah, not as much. Well, you're right. I mean, there's no question.
The failures of the playoffs.
Yeah. But you should.
That's how they're defined.
We talk about that game on Monday Night Football against the Bills.
Not like the Super Bowl.
Colts. It's not even close.
No, I know.
But you should still enjoy the ride. And I think you should do that in the Chiefs season, too, because they're not going to win every Super Bowl.
So then,
you need to enjoy the regular season games and all that stuff.
How does K-State remember this season?
Well, I think they'll remember a great run, for sure. But it's disappointing to lose. This is how close this stuff is. I was sitting there. In my bracket, which, by the way, we, and of our 25 experts in our building, there's only one person that could even get one more point in our brackets. That's how messed up this bracket is. So, in my bracket, I did not believe in Purdue. So, I had Memphis beating Purdue. But Memphis had to beat Florida Atlantic. Yep. And had there not been an unusual officiating situation, Florida Atlantic would have been gone on Thursday, the first night of the tournament, I think, when their game was. But the referees called a jump ball when everybody on the floor was saying timeout, and the guy wasn't looking at them. And then they gave the ball back to Florida Atlantic. The closest game they've had of the whole field was the first one.
Yeah.
And that's how, like, just this tournament can be so weird.
But to bring it back to K-State, like, I know one of my buddies, we were texting during the game, he just said, you know, he had it in his mind all along. This is going to be just like the Loyola Chicago thing. This is going to be just like the Butler thing. And he said, you know, look, 8 times we've been to the Elite Eight since 1964, and we lose every time. And he said, it sucks to be a K-State fan. That's what he said. It sucks to be a K-State fan. And I'm like, man, but you don't want to let that erase everything that just happened. What a year. You know, you guys were supposed to finish 10th in the Big.
Yeah, you should enjoy the win over KU and storming the court and beating Baylor twice and the 100-and-whatever game against Texas, you know. But it's hard. The last game is the worst game. There's
it's
no question.
All you have to put it in context. Like, for Kansas, if they don't go to the Final Four, the season's considered a failure by most Kansas fans.
Yeah.
Like, a run to the Elite Eight is disappointing because he got beaten in the Elite Eight. Like, for...
Well, not getting out of the first weekend's a real disappointment
for Kansas
fans.
But for normal basketball fans, like for Missouri, winning one tournament game was a huge success because they hadn't done that in 13 years, right? But now it's different. So now, if they can get to the Sweet 16 at some point, that'll be huge because they ain't done that in 14 years. For Kansas State, yes, if you're just looking at this year, what a wild success. It's awesome. And there's every reason to believe that the better days are ahead, even more of these opportunities. But then, if you take a little bit of a step back, you think, oh my God, since 2010, we've played 3 Elite Eight games against Butler, Loyola, Chicago, and Florida Atlantic. We lost all of them. Oh my freaking God. But then you look in retrospect, Butler, well, they had an unbelievable coach and a great player, so that is a little bit of the time, you know.
And Loyola Chicago had a nun that on their
side.
They had God
on
their side.
She's still going. She's still kicking, ready for the next run. And I don't know how we'll
be
this in 4 or 5
play in that
years.
Game. I mean, these things happen.
But you look at those, you're like, oh.
Yes.
Right?
I'm telling you, you go ask someone 3 weeks ago, what is Florida Atlantic? And they wouldn't know.
Oh, I didn't know anything
FAU.
About
FAU.
They wouldn't know.
They've never won a tournament game before this year.
They've only been once. And even their football program, that's where Lane Kiffin was. That's probably, and you know, Howard Schnellenberger was there at the beginning, I believe. He started the program or something like that. But this is a school, and if you said, where is Florida Atlantic? And no one could guess.
It's somewhere on the Atlantic side of Florida.
Actually, it's not. It's on the Gulf side, because that's where Boca Raton is, but it's called Florida Atlantic. You know how big their gym is?
Like how many people it seats?
Yeah.
A couple thousand.
2,900.
I'll say 24.
Time out real quick. Speaking of that, too, because I'm going to admit that I did not know something until yesterday.
You want to do this on the radio?
Why not? I'm
open book.
Look, when you do general sports talk, you're covering football, you're covering college basketball, you're covering everything. So I don't expect myself to know
that. That was
everything.
The original name of the show, General Sports Talk. Nate and Steven.
I'm down in the P&L getting ready for the Miller Lite Fan Fest at Hoop Central, presented by Sports Radio 810 WHB. And they, you know, hey, we want you to get up on stage and talk to the Miami fans and the Texas fans about this game, do a little basketball breakdown. So I'm reading some stuff just to make sure I got everything. I know Isaiah Wong. I know Nigel Pack. You know, all that stuff. Miami suspended their basketball program for 14 years? I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Did you know that before I just said it?
No. What years were those?
From 1971 to 1985, they did not play basketball at Miami. They'd never been to the Final Four.
I knew they'd never been to the Final Four.
They didn't play basketball for 14 years.
That's a weird school. I know
and
that.
Not that long ago. I mean, like, in my lifetime.
No.
And
yeah.
I know I'm not a spring chicken anymore, but, you know.
It's wild. It's wild. And they've had some, you know, that's where Leonard Hamilton was before, because he was there. Then he went to the NBA, then to Florida State or something like that. But
yeah.
I guess they were pretty fresh and new back into it, because I think he went there right after Oklahoma State, maybe. And I didn't know they weren't playing college basketball until 1985.
You know, some people would say from 2013 to 2022, Missouri suspended their basketball program.
Don't say that.
But it's not true.
I said some would say.
Not me. Don't be that way. Anyway.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
And that team's in the Final Four.
Dude, I'm telling you, the NIL stuff is a big deal. But
they got money in Miami.
The tournament is the tournament. You know, like, you can have NIL players at Kansas and Carolina and Kentucky and all that stuff, too. And they'll be fine, and they'll win games. But Miami, I think if you're going to say, of these Elite Eight teams, Miami is a team that was greatly helped by NIL, greatly, because we've seen
Nigel Peck,
big money and things happening there, and the guy who started it, this isn't the university because they could never pay for play, but the alum who started this, he's been very outspoken about it, and he wants the publicity for his company. So there's no question they are that team, and Florida Atlantic is just a gutsy team with a really good coach who got a little bit lucky in the first round. And then what happened in the second round? Well, their number one seed was not there, right? So then they got a little bit lucky there.
Why don't you answer any of the tough questions we've posed today?
Come on. Give me one.
Okay. Do you think that Marquise Noel should have given up the ball on that last possession?
No. I mean, they would have been better off him just chucking a 35-footer than not getting a shot. Whatever
he also gave the ball waved up off to, what his coach wanted him to do.
Right, played the soundbite. He gave the ball to Masood in a not great spot for Masood. Masood has been a good shooter when he's sitting there waiting and he's got open look, and even if it's 5 feet beyond the line,
don't dribble.
But he gave him the ball with three people running at him,
and 3 seconds left in the game,
in a position to shoot.
Play that again. Play that clip again, where he basically says he ignored what Jerome Tang wanted him to do.
And listen, Noel was feeling it, no question. He was in New York City. He had his brother mic'd up.
He's got to keep the ball.
Yeah, you have to.
I can sleep at night with that, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, he had said many times, we live with the shots, right? He takes some of these long shots. You live with those shots. And his last breath of the tournament was giving the ball to someone in a bad position. Not great.
You know, I was trying to get Ish a shot. Coach wanted, you know, Ish to set the screen, and I waved it off because I felt like, you know, on the right side of the court, that's where Ish hits most of his shots. And they closed out hard to him, and he didn't get off a shot. I mean, when that final buzzer, you know, hit, you know, it was a little tough because, you know, I love these guys so much that I want to continue to keep playing, you know, for the rest of my life with them. I mean, you know, just it was tough. But, you know, I'm truly honored. I'm truly blessed and grateful to have, you know, a family. You know.
It's a tough one. I mean, he's going to think about that forever.
Well, and that's kind of like the, what we're talking about with the mixed emotions you have of the NCAA tournament, where, like, if K-State, you had this great year that you didn't expect to have, so much better than what you wanted, but there's this going to be this just this feeling of disappointment to be that close to your first Final Four since 1964 and not have it. On the same token, like some of my buddies that I was texting with, Marquise Noel made some questionable decisions late in the game, mm-hmm. and they were very upset with him about that.
But you're not there without him.
And
that's right.
Dude, that's what I was like, dude, 30 points and 12 assists. He had to carry the team, especially once Keontae Johnson fouled out. Like, he's not going to play a perfect game.
If I'm going to complain about something, I'm mad about 44-22.
Yeah,
that's tough.
That's what I'm mad about.
And Keontae Johnson, he's got to be smarter with the fouls. You have to stay on the floor.
He got
himself in foul trouble a lot this year.
Are you like? I'm looking through this. It's mostly Kentucky fans with a sprinkling of Kansas fans, and there's some other people that are haters, right? That are criticizing Coach Tang for going into the FAU locker room after the game to congratulate them. But most people see it for what I think it was, just a guy going genuine going in there to congratulate the other team and being classy. I also someone else did say that's also an unofficial recruiting visit because their head coach is probably going to get a bigger job right after this run to the Final Four.
But where are the jobs? Where do you get a job now? What job is open?
What is open?
I don't know.
Well, maybe not this year, but next year, whatever. He's probably going to get another job.
Best go win the league next year. Don't right. fall backwards. But
why do you have to be such a naysayer?
I'm not a naysayer.
Set this up for you on a team.
Well, Jerome Tang going over there. He may have done that several times this year. I have no idea. But there weren't cameras there. I don't know. I'm not going to pass judgment on it. I don't.
Conzo Martin did it.
I don't really like that a lot. But I know there are some guys who do that. He is. I don't know him, okay? But he seems, it could be a little hokey, part Scott Drew, whatever. But he seems pretty genuine, and I think it comes off better when I see Jerome Tang and hear Jerome Tang say things than I do when we hear Scott Drew and his yes, sir, and all that, you know? But that looked genuine to me. I think he really respected those kids. Now, you already shook their hand, right, in the line. Do you go back in there? What do you go back in there for? I don't know. Maybe they were walking down the hall
and
their locker room
was
right there.
How do you think it
was
received by the Florida Atlantic side? I guess it looked okay.
I mean, look, the video didn't run forever. You know, I haven't seen anything afterwards where they're like, get your clown butt out of here.
Texas is open.
Is it? They fire him?
I don't know. It's open. They haven't named him. Wouldn't you consider that an opening?
If he hasn't been fired.
Well, he's technically an interim coach, right?
Yeah.
But they've made no announcement.
That means the job's open.
No announcement. Well, it's not open yet.
If he's an interim coach, the job is open.
I'll be surprised if Dusty May is coaching Texas next year, if that's what
you're
asking.
Who's coaching Texas Tech?
He's maybe he'll go there, and he'll take the Russian back. I don't think he's going there. He's got a Final Four team. That's the one cool thing about college basketball. You mentioned the college football. It's very hard to make the college football playoff from somewhere else. And we've had in the last couple of years, Cincinnati was an outlier. TCU's not a traditional thing. But we, every few years, get someone,
Cal,
a VCU or a Florida Atlantic or someone like that who makes the Final Four. If you get in the field of 68 teams, you can go to the Final Four. There's no field of 68
in
college football.
It's easier to pull off an upset in basketball than it is in football when you're out.
And to have your number one seed get beat, and then you don't have to play him, and blah, blah, blah.
Mark
all this
wants
stuff.
You to know that Rex Walters was the head coach at FAU and said you should know that, but
should
Nate doesn't
that.
Care.
He couldn't take him to that.
I remember interviewing Rex Walters back when he was the coach.
Why didn't you bring that up?
Well, I didn't know it was relevant.
So
you see, you didn't know anything about FAU before.
Well,
you made that statement.
I'll be honest, when I remember interviewing Rex Walters when he was a coach, I couldn't remember if it was Florida International or Florida Atlantic, because they kind of I get
Florida
those
International
all the time.
Is a different one, and I don't know what city that's in. I think it might be in
the
might
country
be
of Florida.
What was which school was Dunk City?
That was Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah, there's a lot,
that
there's,
was,
there's
Joe Dooley was
right. There's
was
a
there.
Lot of Floridas to deal with here. Yeah.
That coach left. Where's he now? It wasn't Joe Dooley. It was another guy. Andy Ernst. Did he get USC? Yeah,
USC.
But he stayed there for a little bit. Check his thing and see. Check his thing. Put that on the Friday cuts.
Florida Nationals in Miami.
Yeah, they had a big brawl with University of Miami in a football game once. Oh, okay. That's what I remember about
Florida. Was Mario Cristobal there? Or was he at Florida Atlantic?
Lane Kiffin was at Florida Atlantic in football. That's where they came to play Oklahoma.
So last year was the Final Four of Blue Bloods. This year is the Final Four of the New Bloods.
New Bloods.
So you watch this. We watched last year because Kansas was in it. Does the fact that there's no traditional basketball power in this Final Four, does that mean you don't want to watch it? You want to watch any less? Or
I'll
you still
watch
be locked
it.
In
I think
this?
The numbers for this will be less than
don't
last
care,
year.
But I'm talking about you.
I watch it. I always watch. But I'm you know
you like it? Are you excited about it?
If the games aren't good, then I won't be as invested. That's how you get ratings. Those ratings last year were huge for the tournament because Duke and Carolina played. Coach K's last game,
Kansas
it was a great
and Nova.
Game. And then the final game, it was incredible. Two Blue Bloods, and it went down to the wire.
This
Where
final
were
four,
we for the
this,
Saturday
the
night
The ratings
games.
Will be down big time for this Final Four.
Where?
We were at your wife's birthday party.
Oh, that's right.
That's where you don't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
Right over here.
Not just she don't remember.
The ratings will be down because
big time.
They just aren't the big teams.
But that's okay because, I mean, the same thing like we talk about like the World Series. The ratings go up when the Yankees are there, but it sucks.
And especially in today's world of social media where you may not be watching and someone's like, you see, oh, my God, this game's great. And then you'll find it. You'll turn it on. If the games are good, the ratings are better.
Yep.
A blowout. Like, how many people were locked in Saturday night for UConn-Gonzaga? After
I wanted to be, but it was stupid.
I mean, we were engaged at this house I was at for, I don't know, 10 minutes. I guess we kept it on, but maybe it was still on. I left.
K-State and FAU was super exciting.
It was great. Right down to the wire.
Everybody
Creighton
was gathered
San Diego
around.
State was super exciting.
Yes.
Gosh, what an end. Do you think they should have called a foul there?
I guess it's a foul, yeah. What I really didn't like was the part where it took 5 minutes to figure out that the game was over. That was a little bit of a...
I do think college basketball could use a few more stoppages in the last minute.
They need more stoppages. They need to check tenths of seconds more often.
Yeah.
They have those electronic things on the whistle that stops the clock, yet they go back and do this all the time. They got to quit that.
Yeah.
It's bad. It ruins the game. So the game's over, and they're celebrating, and they go, oh, da, 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 da. And then they looked at it for 5 minutes, and they never showed who they had given the ball to either way on the court. They never showed
they
the replay.
They waved it off.
And then they looked at it a whole bunch of times, and they had stopwatches out and looked to see whose hand was on the ball, and then they said, game's over. Okay. Game's over. It was a little anticlimactic, I guess, but that was a tough one.
In all this, you know, we talk about, well, this is, you know, where's all the traditional powers and everything else? It could just end up that UConn has a couple of more double-digit victories, and UConn has won as – I mean, how many national championships have they won in the last 25 years? Let's see if you know.
They won in 99? No. Yes, I was at that. 99, 2004. I think they won in 2011. Which was this, if you look at the, it was in Houston, and it was a bunch of ragtag seeds. Mm-hmm. They won that one. They won in 14. I covered that. So they, have they won, is it, have they won four? Or is there, have they won five?
I believe they've won four.
Four? Yeah, they won in 14.
1999, 2004, 2011, and 2014.
That's four.
The 2014 one, I feel like, was the one that came.
That was a, like a seven seed.
They could have five national championships since 1999.
That was
who has more than that in that time span?
That was the one down in Dallas. That
three different coaches.
That caused all the to-do because, what was the guy's name, the point guard, Shabazz Napier or whatever, said he would go to bed hungry, which I was dubious of. But now you can't walk into a facility anywhere in college sports without food laying everywhere. It's like our break room back here, Stephen. There's always a snack for you.
Oh, my God. We went to a late family dinner. When I say late, about 6:30, we went to 7:30. And I told everyone just like, hey, Sunday night, this has been a good weekend. Get whatever you want. We all ate so much.
Where'd you go?
Cheddar's.
Cheddar's.
We're talking chicken fried steak and desserts and everything.
Did you
else.
Take any home?
Tell you something. The girls did.
You
the
cleaned your
three
plate?
Three girls cleaned their plates.
You made a happy plate with your chicken fried steak?
Let me tell you, I went home and went to sleep. So what I'm trying to tell you is I did not go to
you
sleep.
You never
hungry.
Go to bed hungry?
No, I went to sleep very full. Oh, I was, at one point I was like, what am I eating all this for?
Because it's there.
It's all gravy. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more sports. General sports.
General sports.
General
right
sports
here
talk.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Can this I correct
song,
something?
The song relaxes me. I mean, I don't know. You
I
care
want to
about being accurate?
I do. Boca Raton is on the Atlantic side. I was thinking of Naples on the Gulf side. Boca Raton's up there by Miami.
I'm starting to get to know that area a little bit. And
yeah, Boca.
I think it's right between it's, West Palm and Fort Lauderdale.
And Fort Lauderdale.
Boca.
Did you watch Succession last night?
No.
You didn't?
I had to go see him. Oh, and I had the opportunity to go spend a couple of hours with my dad. He's having surgery as we speak. And then went for the late dinner, came home.
Can I tell you two things about this show?
No, don't.
Can I give you one line?
I'm watching
Marco,
it.
Did you watch?
I'm watching it with Mama when I get home.
Did.
And so we'll enjoy that. Also, the debut last night.
Text
of,
me when you're done.
I will.
I want to text you a line.
Rabbit Hole, starring Kiefer Sutherland.
I don't have the Paramount last yet.
The other show that we did get a chance to watch at least three episodes or four episodes of, and boy, is it good.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with my highest recommendation. It is it's very 24-ish. And that's a compliment for me, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
On Netflix. Do you have Netflix?
I do.
The Night Agent.
The Night Agent?
They just released it on Friday.
Who's in this?
I don't think
that'd
anyone,
be something I can watch by myself.
Oh,
when my wife goes
man,
to
is it good.
Listen, here's the deal. Mrs. Lebo last night, she likes Succession. And I told her. Well, I didn't know you weren't going to watch it.
Yeah,
so
you know,
I said,
I can't
it's
wait.
An assignment. I have to watch the show. I said, here's the deal. You need to take enough of a nap during the day that you can stay up till 9 o'clock. And she did. So we watched Succession
last night.
Was it good?
Night.
It's great.
Okay.
It turns out this family is
right.
not getting along.
It's wild, isn't it?
They battle.
Anyway, yeah, you need the Night Agent. Man, it's good.
The Night Agent.
Boy, is it good. I love it.
Is it they drop the whole season?
FBI, White House, conspiracy, plots, all kinds of interesting stuff. So, getting back to
General sports,
UConn wins it all. Do you disagree?
I mean, they look like the best team for sure. They look like they were a smidge underseeded, and they look good. They just brushed Gonzaga aside. Bye bye. Did the same to Arkansas.
They look incredible.
Did they play Iona in their first game? Were they down like a smidge to them or
down
something?
Down at halftime.
Yeah, and then they've just been outstanding.
Five-and-a-half-point favorites over Miami right now.
Well, I mean, listen, Miami was beat yesterday, and Texas just puckered big time.
You think Texas should retain their coach? Did he do enough?
Yeah.
I would almost never retain the interim coach.
You know? Who are you going to go hire
opinions.
Right now? You're going to put it all on Dusty May?
Dusty May,
because they...
You just got to tell me there's no opening. There's an opening right there. You don't want...
He's not
want
open
him.
Right now.
They could nab him.
It seemed like the everything was going against Rodney Terry. At the end of the season, they were struggling, and then they beat Kansas, right? And everyone's like, oh, it's great. And then they won the Big 12 again, right?
The Big 12 tournament?
Yeah, they won that again, right? So then they won that.
Beat Kansas.
And then they made the Elite Eight.
He knew that they won. He made you say
no,
that.
I honestly didn't remember if they won.
Dirty trick.
No, so long ago.
This is only the second time they've ever won. The first time they've won with fans in attendance. So they won the other one when no one was there. But so they did that, and then it's like everything's good. And then they're up 13 points in the second half of a Elite Eight game, you're like, well, signing him his extension. And now Stephen's got Dusty May in his seat right now.
Maybe. I'm just telling you that he ain't going to be there for long.
He cried after the game last night. I think he knows he might be toast. I don't know. Did you see that clip?
Of him crying?
Yeah.
Wait, who cried?
Rodney Terry. Got emotional. Up on the dais.
I thought they had it won.
Coach these guys anymore. It was, they had it won. And then they shot about five straight possessions short. Every ball barely grazed the rim. They were just
out of gas. The injuries they were dealing
with. Because they just battled through the best conference in the history of basketball.
Right.
Not having Dylan Dessou was tough. I mean, that's a really good player. He was hurt, but they made it through that game the other night without him. That was a good team, but it's hard to make the Final Four. Even harder to win the whole thing.
Only four teams make it most times.
We've seen some great teams not make the Final Four, not even make the Elite Eight. Mm-hmm. You know, it happens a lot. It's a tough championship to win in college basketball. And it's tougher these days because there are great basketball players at all these schools, man. It's Florida Atlantic kids. And like I said, like only one of those guys is some transfer. The rest of those guys were just guys who came to Florida Atlantic. That's got to be, go to the Rivals recruiting thing right now. No. They're probably 100th in the country, maybe. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to Florida Atlantic instead of, what number of school in the state of Florida are you, if you're falling down to there?
One of the things that I do think makes college basketball more of one of the equalizers, so to speak, is that the best talent leaves before it has a chance to mature.
That's true.
So you might have, like, who was the Paolo Banchero last year? He's better talent, but he's playing against a guy that's 5 years older than him. That's got all. There is a little bit of an equalizer to that, right?
Well, that's what K-State was a great example about this year. Everyone on their team, all the starters with the exception of Cam Carter, were like 22 or 23 or like even 24 years old. They got a 25-year-old guy on K-State,
and not just
and they've all played a lot
experience
of
experience of playing games all the time, but also the physical maturity. Mm-hmm. Think about how much a person grows physically from 18 to 24. And maturity-wise, and all those other things,
and knows all the tricks of the basketball and all that stuff. You're exactly right. You can have a team that's got some guys who are a little older and more experienced who can do that. But that's not really who Florida Atlantic is. They're just like a weird team here. They got some younger players on that team, and they've all just been at that school for the most part. But they should have lost the Memphis game.
Does it seem to you like opening day is on Thursday?
I know that it is. I know that it is.
There's a serious lack of buzz
for all of baseball, for sure, and especially in Kansas City with the Royals.
Well, I mean, but I see there's a lot of buzz around the WBC, and a lot of buzz, but just nothing around the Royals, man.
Well, this is an early start to the baseball season. It used to be baseball season would kind of start like they would have opening day on that Monday of the Final Four. Now they're starting this thing on the Thursday, so it's like 5 days early. They tried to do this last year, but they ended up having a lockout, and it started later, and it all got weird. But they're going to have, the Royals play at home on Thursday. I'm going to Houston with Jason Anderson to be at Radio Row. They're getting their rings on Thursday down there. I don't know. I guess there'll be a buzz for that down there. I assume there will be because they're a great team that won the championship last year. But there's a lot kind of going on, and the Royals they're not really making waves yet. But if they don't go out and start well, they'll just be buried again like they were last year. People won't pay attention.
It has anything to do with a lot of people being pissed off about the downtown baseball thing?
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't. That hasn't. No, nothing's been done yet with that. So
I'm sensing more apathy than I am anger.
Yeah, there's no real strong opinion
like
either way.
The thing that's weird about
apathy is worse than anger.
It probably is, but except for this, I think part of the reason is it's like, okay, the team lost 97 games last year. They didn't go out and make any big splash acquisitions of any kind that make you go, oh, wow, this is exciting. I want to see this person. And I'm not saying that's the wrong move, by the way. I think they're actually handling it the right way.
They didn't even make any big trades.
Minor
ones.
Their biggest moves were in the front office and the coaching staff. And that doesn't get you excited. And, you know, it's just, it's like, but I think as a hardcore baseball fan, I'm curious to see, okay, well, what kind of a difference can they make with all these young guys? Is the pitching staff going to get better? But even I don't expect this team to all of a sudden become a contender this year. So you don't think they're going to win. And there's not, like, any buzz about the team.
The data has them winning
60-some games. But I also don't think
there's
anger because, like, I don't think any fans are like, this new manager sucks and this GM, because, like, the GM and the manager have shown they're going to do things differently. So I think there's a little bit of like, well, let's see what they do.
What irritates me is that now, anonymously or openly, most everyone is freely now ready to admit, you know, this Cal Eldred was a disaster. They can't wait to throw this guy under the bus for the failings of these young pitchers, right? Mm-hmm. And here's what I tell you. This all happened a year too late. Mm-hmm. And I really... I'm afraid that some of these young pitchers were damaged past the point of no return.
Yeah,
and so that's not JJ's fault. That's not Matt Quatrero's fault. That's not the new. But then you look at ownership, and I think people obviously happy with John Sherman. He says all the right things, but that's the other thing that we don't know about. How's he going to do things?
Well, here's
when it comes time to make sense, is he going to put money back in the roster?
Well,
in the payroll.
I think this organization made a mistake 2 years ago when they kind of made the move. Well, JJ Piccolo has already been the general manager in name.
But there's no way Cal Eldred should have been the pitching coach last year.
That was the wrong way to go about everything. If they wanted to get rid of Dayton Moore, which is what they just did, they got rid of him. He's no longer in, around, or anything. And whether that's right or wrong, because does he deserve to have just a job and a title, and maybe he didn't want that, he just wanted to go somewhere and get away from it, it's too bad that marriage ended the way it did. But they tried a trial separation where he wasn't the GM, but he still was. That was a disaster.
It was a wasted year.
It was a wasted year.
It was a wasted year because they didn't even.
Then they finally fired Terry Bradshaw, and they wouldn't fire Cal Eldred. And I believe those things were, they probably told Dayton, all right, we're going to fire one of them and not the other one. He was still involved in those decisions. It was wrong. They did it wrong.
It's not even a waste. It's worse than a wasted year because
you're trying
year
to develop,
of him
yes.
doing damage.
Yeah.
And right?
Yeah.
I mean, because these pitchers, and not because they're so quick, Cal Eldred really was a problem. Oh, really? Then why was he allowed to be the problem for so long? I know it's not anyone's problem here, but the only one that's a holdover is what? Who? Ownership? You can't blame anyone else.
Well, that's why I think there's a little bit of apathy because, like, I think that the general consensus is this team's not going to be very good this year. And it's nobody's fault that's currently here.
Right.
You know, so it's like, well, they're going to suck, but at least they're starting to do the right things, and maybe they'll get a little bit better. Because the reason I agree with you that it not only was, the old adage is in life, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. So it was a wasted year, which means it was a step backwards, too. The thing that's frustrating to me is, like, I love what I'm hearing from Matt Quatrero. I love what I'm hearing from J.J. Piccolo. I like the fact that at least we'll see if they stick to what they're saying here. They're going to make sure that this year they find out about all these young players. But it's like, well, what were they doing last year? They lost 97 games. Why didn't they find out about these players last year?
The world conspired against development a few years ago with the pandemic because they couldn't have minor league baseball. So you already had that. And then they kept the same staff in place.
Last year was
that hurt. And then last year, after they'd already kind of made the move at the top with Dayton Moore, they didn't really make the moves on the field. So they have just made something that could have taken 12 seconds.
This guy's working the phones
two
like
and a half
he's
years.
Working the front office at the front desk at a hotel. Who keeps calling in and harassing you? I want to hear about this. What's
harassers.
Going on? Well, I don't know. What are they saying?
They want to know your guys' views on something in particular with this topic.
What is it?
They want to know where your stance is with JJ going into this. How are you going to evaluate him this season? That type of thing, because he was a part of the former.
He was, but I think he just really wasn't the GM last year.
I think it's been obvious that he wasn't making the decisions because as soon as Dayton Moore left, he started making decisions that were completely in a different direction from what they did under Dayton Moore. Like, and I'll speak for myself on this one. You
Please
guys tell
do.
Me if you agree or not. I had grown very tired of the loyalty that Dayton Moore had to a lot of people that didn't seem to deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make some people mad again, but I didn't think Whit Merrifield deserved to be treated the way that he was here, like he was some star player that you just can't trade Whit Merrifield. I mean, the fans are going to just turn on you if you trade Whit Merrifield. Whit Merrifield was a good, solid baseball player that was cranky the whole time he was here because the way he got treated early on, right? The loyalty to Cal Eldred. What has Cal Eldred done to deserve any sort of loyalty?
That's a far bigger deal to me than the Whit Merrifield.
Yeah, and I should have brought that up first, but I'm just giving it different examples. And I know, I'm mindful of the fact that back when they won the World Series, they were loyal to Mike Moustakas when he really, really struggled early in his career, and the whole third base tree came out and all that stuff. So they were paid off for some loyalty, but I was getting really tired of that. A lot of people that didn't deserve to get this much runway, we're being given all this runway. Like, what has this guy done? And so I find it refreshing that as soon as J.J. Piccolo got named, we're making a change at manager. They are going to start embracing some analytics and a different approach at pitching. And
I told you, when I was down there with Petro at camp, I was just blown away with these guys. Brian Sweeney, Matt Quatrero, all these guys, they seem to have a different way of going about things. Will it work? I don't know. You can use all your data and all your analytics and do all the stuff, and if you don't have the guys who can execute it, it's not going to matter. But it just seems different and fresh, and they seem like true believers in new baseball.
Now, this is not they have no control over this, and this is more of an irritant. It irritates me. I'm tired of seeing so many other teams lock up like young superstars in their first year to long-term deals and have a bold move like that. And I get it. Bobby Witt Jr., you have to have
two
to tango.
Yeah.
He's not interested in that.
Doesn't seem like
he's interested. But like, can they just not like do, like Vinny Pasquantino or something like, you know, do? I mean, I need to see a sign of commitment to the actual team.
I'm with you, Stu, and I've said this a bunch of times on the air. I don't go around feeling sorry for billionaires very often. But these folks bought this team, mm-hmm. and the world shut down 3 months later. And then they didn't allow
we've
any fans to come play for their 60-game season. And then the next year, their longtime TV partner got kicked off a TV platform that many people use, so they couldn't watch the games. And then they had a lockout. I mean, nothing good has worked out for them. So I don't know. My assumption is they've lost money. And like right now, these teams are coming up on these deadlines with Bally Sports and Diamond Sports, whatever you want to call it right now. They may not get the money. They may have to make up all that out of their own pockets without getting the local TV money at a lot of these franchises. So maybe you can, maybe you can't. I don't know if they've tried to lock anyone up. I don't know if the people who they would try to lock up have said, no, I'm not interested. I don't know those things right now. But I agree. It'd be great if they said, here's our person, and we want to have him on our team for 6 years or something like that. That'd be awesome. But I also think some of those deals are terrible and stupid. I mean, I don't want the Royals to give $300 million to Bobby Witt over 10 years.
Oh, you don't?
No.
You wouldn't do that right now if it was on the table?
I wouldn't. He hasn't proven that he's worth that.
Well, no, by the time he proves he's worth that, he's going to be worth more than that, and you can't afford him.
Possibly, or maybe
that's
not.
That's why it's the gamble. Who would you bet on? Would you bet on?
I don't think I would bet on a. I don't think there's a can't miss.
I'll bet on Vinny right now. He's just. And,
no, but he's like, not going to be a $300 million guy.
No.
He's not as big of a gamble.
No, yeah. But like I told you before he even came up, he could end up being the best hitter out of all of them.
Might be. But you know he's what's he got half a year of service time. There's no
But that's when you got your opportunity. That's your window.
Oh, they got their window the next 2 years to do that.
No,
they want to.
If he goes out and hits 30 bombs and 100 ribbies and a unbelievable slash line, then that window's closed too. Like, no, we ain't signing for that. We're going to free agency in 4 years. See you later.
Nah, 4 years. 4 years, a long
Whatever.
Time in baseball.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
You're just here. You all you do is want to disagree with me.
It's not true.
I don't care because I didn't watch Succession. All right, because I care about my father. You know what? Guilty. Guilty as charged. I love my daddy.
Did you watch the Kiefer Sutherland show?
No.
Okay.
God, Gary Lezak's going to be so mad at both you guys, and I'm out of it. I'm over here just.
Yeah. You're talking right now.
I'm real upset. Backhead to this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's say hello to Gary Lezak. Hello, Gary Lezak.
Good morning, Mark. Weather madness continues, but we're heading towards April. So, exciting things. What did you guys think of the biggest, most controversial play was for the Texas Longhorns in their game when there was a rebound. It was tied up. They called a foul. It looked like, you know, there was a fifth foul on Miami's player there. And then
I was watching the game with my son Phil, as soon as it happened, and I just, in real time, said, foul on Texas. And then Phil goes, no, that was a foul on Miami. And then, obviously, the foul was on Texas. But I don't, like, it's hard.
No call. Shouldn't that be a no call?
Then later on we talked about, we decided it should have been a no call because, like, you know, one guy is doing what teach him to do, doing a great job of boxing out. I don't think he was trying to flip him up in the air. And the other guy had just gone straight up to try to get the rebound. But because the guy was boxing him out when he was in midair, and it looked worse than it did because of the way he landed on the ground. And I almost feel like that's why they called the foul. But I decided, like, you know what? Man, both guys are doing what the coach would do. I almost wouldn't have called the foul. But in real time, someone, you know, hits the ground like that, you're like, foul, you know? But I'm with you. It's funny you brought that up because Phil and I debated that for about 20 minutes last night.
Well, because that call ruined a great chance of a great ending. It just did. I mean, it changed everything in that game that was over. So should have been a no call. Texas had the rebound. It would have been one heck of a finish there. But Miami had all the momentum. Good for them. They're in the Final Four, and it's the way it goes. The other game absolutely was a foul. I'm glad they called it because a San Diego State player was, don't cheat. Don't think you just get away with a foul. He shoved him. He pushed him out of his shooting range. Just let him shoot the ball. If he wins, he loses. But that was a good call. I'm glad they called that one. So anyway, it doesn't matter. My pool, you were leading for a while in the pool there.
I don't think anymore. I think I'm done with that. After the Sweet 16, I was in first place. I'll always have that.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you were number one for just a short period of time. So weather-wise, you know, the complete disaster in Mississippi, and it was just horrific tornadoes, just really bad. We got to watch this tornado season closely. For Kansas City, I got some really good news. You know, back in early February, I believe, is when I issued the forecast using the LRC model for opening day. I had 62, and it was looking really good. Ooh. Sunny, dry, and beautiful, and I'm off by 10 degrees. The model was off. 72 degrees our forecast for opening day. How about that? How about that?
That's a hell of an opening day forecast.
Yeah, a little breezy. The Royals heading out to the K. Sunny, breezy, no rain. I know all these chances of rain there. Just leave that out. It's going to be really nice on Thursday. Chance of rain to run Friday, but there's no game Friday if we get the game on Thursday. So that's good news. 28 degrees is our current temperature. Today's high, 51. It's going to start feeling like spring. 54 tomorrow, 60 Wednesday, 72 opening day at the K, and Friday, 75. I believe Saturday is opening day for Sporting KC at home, and it should be a pretty good day. Chance of a few showers, though. We'll talk about that later in the week. So right now, warm up to 30. It is 30 degrees with almost no wind. You guys have a great day.
That's Gary Lezak.
Sporting Kansas City's already played two home games, by the way.
All right, thank you. That's yes. Gary Lezak. Back after this on WHB.